2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're going to start in verse 1. It says, "Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." When we start off a chapter, as we all know, when we see that word "therefore," we got to ask ourselves, what's it there for? Wherefore is it there for? That's what you ask yourself, okay? Why is it there? And Paul has been talking about this great privilege that we have to share the word of God, to share the gospel, to spread the good news. And he wants to make sure we understand this. We who have this ministry upon our hearts must not lose heart. We must not lose heart. We need to boldly share this beautiful gospel with everyone. And I love what these guys are doing, because in this younger generation, it's like we're going completely back, where they don't even know anything about the gospel, and the only things they've heard are negative. And they don't even know why. They say, "Oh, you Christians, I'm so mad at you." Why? I don't know, but I was told that you guys are pretty bad. It's like, okay, come on. But we need to be careful that we don't lose heart. Paul preached his gospel humbly because he knew that this call on his life wasn't because he had studied hard or had done any good works, but it was because, as it says, as we have received mercy. Paul understood mercy of God. God showed Paul mercy, stopping him on that road to Damascus as he was hell-bent on taking out the Christian church. And God stopped him in his tracks and said, "Who are you fighting with? Slow down, Paul. Realize who I am." And when we look at that interchange in Acts chapter 9, we see that Paul drops to his knees right away and he knows who he's talking to, because God had been working on his heart. And we have to remember that when we're sharing with those around us who react negatively or whatever, always remember in the back of your mind, God is working on their heart. Because it's easy for us to go, "Oh, they didn't seem very positive. They got kind of negative. Oh, I better hold back." No, God is working on their heart. There's an old saying that when you throw a rock into a pack of dogs, the one that yelps the loudest is the one that got hit. So when your friend or neighbor always says, "Oh, hey, Bible man. Oh, here comes Bible lady." Or, you know, I worked at one place once and they called me the Rev all the time. The Rev. Reverend, yeah, all the time. And I would just be like, just because I go to church, okay, yeah, that's good, I'm the Reverend. And they were always going on, and I realized it was because their hearts were being pricked every time I walked in the room. Because they were convicted, and they were fighting on the inside, so they lashed out. And Paul knew this, Paul understood this. And he says, it's this mercy that I have, this mercy that God has given me. It's undeserved, but God has given it to me. And he continues on, verse 2, it says, "But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." Paul preached the gospel honestly, without twisting or adding, without trying to make it relevant. Have you guys heard that? We're trying to make the word of God relevant. Well, I got newsflash for you. It's relevant. You don't have to make it relevant. The people in the Bible sinned and they struggled and they needed Jesus. We sin, we struggle, we need Jesus. I don't know how I have to add anything to that to make it make sense. It's simple. It's a simple truth. And it's interesting because in Cranbrook we're going through the Old Testament right now, and I keep pointing this out. See the struggle they're having? And everybody goes, "Yeah." And I go, "Okay, did you have that struggle this week?" "Yeah." Isn't that relevant? We're talking about Old Testament stuff here. And hey, we will go through the same thing every day. Paul preached the word in truth. We do not preach a gospel with hidden meanings, secret truths, but just good old plain truth. When someone comes to you with a new revelation from God, check it out against Scripture. When someone says, oh, I've got something new I found. I found this nugget. I got the new New York bestseller book. Put it back on the shelf and get your Bible. Our world is full of people trying to sell us new things. And I'll tell you this is the sad part. Some people, even in the scholarly world, get bored with the truth and are digging for something more so that they can put their name on a plaque somewhere. So we have to be careful. We have to stick to the truth of God and not allow people to sneak in and twist and add things. I love how he says this. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. There are those out there who are handling the word of God deceitfully. They will get up and preach. They will pace back and forth. They will jump up and down and do whatever they do. They will talk very eloquent, but they're doing it for the wrong reasons. They're doing it to draw a crowd unto themselves. They're doing it to make money so they can buy another jet or whatever it is they want. They're doing it for the wrong reasons. Paul's saying, I didn't do it for the wrong reasons. I love Paul because for years, I just in June stepped away from my job that I've had for years and now am, I call it full time. I tell people I'm retired because they don't understand when you say you quit your job. They're like, you quit your job. You had a good job. Why'd you quit your job? I'm like, I quit my job to go work for the church, but the church isn't really paying me full time, but I just feel that's what the Lord wanted me to do. And they go, so I go, okay, I retired. Oh, that makes sense. I just say I retired without any benefits. But the Lord put it on our heart to step forward. But Paul always was that one who worked. He always took care of himself. He always made sure that people understood, I'm not here for your money. I'm not here for anything. I'm just here to preach the gospel. Paul wanted everyone to know that I'm here to preach the gospel. So when anyone brings anything to you and you go, huh, that doesn't sound right, check it against Scripture. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, Peter writes, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Be careful when you run into those guys who say, I came up with this new truth, and nobody else knows it but me because I figured out the secret way to read Hebrew or Greek. Be careful. I was actually reading this. Someone had brought me some new information, and I read it. And the guy actually made this claim at the beginning of his thesis. He says, everyone in the evangelical world agrees with me, but they're too scared to say it. So if you ask them, they will deny it. It's like, wow, isn't that convenient? So I use that now in everything. You know, you just say, hey, everyone agrees with me, but don't ask them because they'll deny it. So we're good, right? Like, and then I read his thing and went, well, this is not biblical, so I don't know where you're getting this from. But I can't argue with you because apparently I agree with you, even though I don't. It says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man. It doesn't come from us. It comes from the Lord. And anything that you come up with, I'll tell you this, for pastors, sometimes this can be frustrating. You're digging into Scripture. You're studying. You're like, oh, I love this. This is so good. And then something just jumps out. You're like, whoa, this is heavy. Oh, I can't wait to share this. This is some heavy. This is some deep. This is meat. This is like everyone's going to be blown away. And then you go and share it with someone. They go, oh, yeah, yeah. I read that in my devotional this morning. What? No! And then you open up commentaries that are 200 years old or older, and they're stated right there. You go, but that was my deep thing. I figured it out on my own. No private interpretation. God has shared it. If it's true, it ain't new. If it's new, it ain't true. When we look, we see that the church has believed the same thing for a long time. So why are we trying to change it? That's all I'm saying. So be careful. Because there's those that want to be crafty, those that want to be deceitful. And Paul is encouraging the people here to be careful of that. In Acts chapter 17, verse 10, it says, then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more faithful-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they receive the word with all readiness and search the scripture daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and they also, and also not a few of the Greeks and prominent women also, as well as men, believed. The Bereans checked it by scripture. So don't take it by what we say. Always be going home and reading it yourself. And that's one thing that I, when I first discovered Calvary Chapel, I was a teenager and I just loved, you know, I was worked in the church as a security guard for years. I just loved being at church, so I thought I might as well get a job there. And so I worked there all through high school, and it was just awesome. The big church on the coast. And, you know, people say security guard at church. We were just there because insurance said someone's got to be on the grounds. So we got paid, and then they made us do everything, maintenance, you know, setting up chairs, looking for the pastor's dog, whatever it was. I remember one time my boss, the senior pastor came up to me and he says, "Hey, Steve, I need you to go down to Seattle," because we were in Langley. "I need you to go to Seattle and pick up this pastor." And I said, he was coming in to teach, and I said, "Okay, well, I'm working." He goes, "Yeah, don't worry, I'll make sure someone covers you." And I'm like, "Well, I'm not a chauffeur." And he's like, no, don't worry. And I went, "But I got this beat up old Buick. It was like in bad shape and it smoked and everything." And he goes, "Oh, that's okay. Don't worry." Man, when I showed up at the airport, this guy was not impressed. He walked out and was like, "This is what we're driving in? 3 hours back? Yeah, okay." He was kind of like, "Oh." And I'm like, "Well, this is the job I have." But then one day a guy invited my brother out to a Bible study. And, you know, we went to Bible study all the time. And he says, "You got to come. This was amazing." And I'm thinking, okay, what can be more amazing about a Bible study? We get together, we study the Bible. And we got together and we went through the Word. And it felt like I was just like, "I'm hungry, I want more." And I remember talking to the guy who was teaching. I said, "So you went to Bible college, you had, you know, training and stuff." And he goes, "Hey man, I've been saved for like 6 months now. But God's really been working." And I'm going, "He knows more about the Bible in 6 months than I know, and I've been going my whole life. I need more of this. I want some." I felt like a junkie. It's like, "Okay, show me where this place is. I need more." And we just got in there, and we started learning, and we learned to check things by the Word of God and just continue to grow through it. And it was such a blessing, and that's what just got me hooked. And I just couldn't go back. And I always told people after that, just check. Every time you hear someone say something, check. So the one thing that I loved about it is going and learning the Word, and I know you guys already know this. When you're studying the Word of God week by week, what does it do? And I'm hoping it does this. It creates a hunger. You start wanting to go back into it. You start wanting to read it. You want to know more. And you can't wait. And I know myself, I get bummed when I miss a week. You know, we're teaching through Exodus, and one of my guys taught today, and now I've got to wait until I get home to hear what he said because I missed it. You know, you want to just keep going. You want to learn, and that's just building that hunger of the word of God in your heart. So we have to be careful when someone throws this new idea our way to search the scriptures, to dig in. The Bible means what it says and says what it means. Read it in its context, and try not to read anything into it. Try not to read between the lines, because you know what? There is nothing between the lines. It says what it says, and so read it. All right, verse 2, it says, "But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestations of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." We must also be careful that we never add or impose things on Scripture. And that's so easy for us to do. We can add an attitude or a habit. We can try to squish something in. The Jews were great at this. They knew the Word of God, and they always were going, "Okay, I like doing this, and I know the Bible or the, you know, the Word of God says I'm not supposed to. So how can I sneak it in there? Change the name, change how you do it, and we can get away with it." Be careful that you don't do that yourselves. That you don't try to excuse away things or impose things or attitudes or different ideas upon the Word of God. It's very easy to do, and it can be very dangerous. All right. "Commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. If we preach the word truthfully, whether a person is a believer or not, they should within their conscience behold the truth of the gospel." That doesn't always mean they will like it and respond kindly, but they will know it's true. And we had the opportunity yesterday, and that's one of the reasons we were in town, is Shauna's aunt passed away, and they asked me to do the funeral. And most of the family are not believers. So I was kind of like, okay, you want me to do it because I'm the only, the message I got was I'm the only preacher in the family. So it made sense. And then they're like, but don't be too preachy. And I'm going, how do I not be preachy? And the comment that I got was, don't use hymns and psalms every second word. And I'm not really sure what that means. So I was confused. Like, I'm like, how do you, what hymns, those words don't mean what you think they mean. I think they meant these and thous. But they said, no, don't use hymns and psalms. Can you imagine that? Hi, welcome, I'm Pastor Steve. Let's sing a hymn. Now I've got a psalm. Let's read from the psalm. It's like, no. So I wrote a message of hope to preach the gospel because I realized this is probably one of the few times that I'm going to be able to stand in front of the family, and some of them have been negative towards us because we're believers. They like to drop the jokes and stuff. And so I thought, this is one time I can stand before the family and preach the gospel, and they can't stop me. You know, they're not going to jump up and pull me down. So, and you know what? And I thank you for those who were praying. It was amazing. The Lord really moved. It was amazing. And it was one of those times, and for a pastor, it's weird because we get excited and you start preaching and you realize, oh no, I better stop myself because I'm about to do an altar call at a funeral. And I'm not sure how to do that. Everyone come forward? No. It's like, okay. So I laid the truth out there. And you just lay the truth out there and let the Lord do the work because he'll speak to people's hearts. So even with that friend or family member's going, yeah, okay, you and you, I'm tired of your Jesus stuff. Remember, the reason they're reacting that way is because it's eating away at them. The Holy Spirit is convicting them, and that's why they react that way. And just continue to share the truth and let the Lord do the work. Verse 3, it says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. I love what it says here. It says that their eyes are blinded. Remember that. The reason why your family members go, I don't understand you, I don't get it, is because their eyes are blinded. But never forget that our eyes were blinded as well. And we came to know Jesus. So your friends and family members, those people you run into, those people you share with, their eyes can be opened as well. So we need to preach the word to them and let the light of God shine into their hearts so that they will see the light, so that they will recognize Jesus and not be shocked. You know, one of the things that's always hard when you have family members who aren't believers is when you talk about morality, basic Christian truths, and they look and you go, well, I don't get it. Why is that a big deal? Why can't those two live with each other? What's the big deal? And we get frustrated, don't we? We get kind of like, because it's wrong. And we have to remember, they're just fulfilling their job description. They are not believers, therefore they're doing what non-believers do. And they don't see anything else because their eyes are veiled. So we need to be praying, Lord, I pray that when they get together, if they move in together, whatever happens, that the Holy Spirit would convict them and they would just feel like, I can't be here. There's something wrong. This isn't right. And in today's day and age where people's consciences are seared, we need to pray it even stronger. Lord, help them be convicted when they're doing those things. Help them be convicted when they're talking that way. That your spirit would just open their eyes to the truth. That they would be able to see. It says here, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. We don't like thinking about this, but man forfeited the earth into the enemy's hands when they sinned. When Adam and Eve fell in the garden, they literally handed the deed of earth over to the devil. And we say, no, this is God's earth. And it's like, yes, it's his. But someone else holds the deed right now, and he is going to take it back. But right now, he's got it. When Jesus was tempted in the desert, he didn't fight Satan when he said, all of this is mine and I can give it to you? Jesus didn't say, no, it's not. Jesus was like, yeah, okay, but no, thank you. I don't need to. I'm going to take it back. I could just see him winking. I'm going to take it back. You'll see. Just wait. Come an attraction. I'm taking it back. But although Satan blinds the eyes of those who are perishing, they're not innocent victims either. In John chapter 3, verse 19, it says, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Men love darkness. Our world loves darkness. That's why they're running into it. And you know what? The sad part is that the reason that we see, especially in Canada, our world falling so quickly into darkness is because the church has shut the light off. Because we're trying to act too much like the world. And we've shut the light off because it upsets people. So we should just stop talking about Jesus. Don't talk about sin or hell or judgment. You know, don't talk about the Word of God. Just get your chicken soup book or whatever it is and talk about that. And we'll just all hug and sing Kumbaya and we'll be good. And the light has slowly gone out. And so the world loves their darkness and they hold on to it. Have you ever noticed that you can talk to some people about every issue under the sun, but as soon as you mention Jesus, end of conversation. And I remember we were with Matt down in, what was it, Philadelphia, and he saw a Jewish rabbi, and he went over and talked to him, and as soon as he said Yahshua, the guy just gone. He was really friendly and bubbly and nice, and as soon as he said that, gone. I was like, wow, that was just very abrupt. And he was not very happy. But we know those friends, those family members. We try to share with them or we try to talk with them. And as soon as we mention Jesus, it's over. Conversation's done. I remember Shauna was talking to a lady at the farmer's market a few months ago. And she runs an ashram or something? Yeah. A yoga retreat. So she's very new age and stuff, and she's always talking about this stuff. And she came over and she goes, you know, it's so amazing that in all these countries, how they worship corn, and they worship, you know, wheat, or they worship this. And I think we really need to get back to that, to the roots of worship, really worshiping the important things. And so I was kind of standing off, and Shauna was talking to her, and I'm kind of waiting. And Shauna goes, or we could worship the one who created the corn and things. And right away it was like, okay, no. So the weather. If you notice, she just changed subject. It was like, we're not going there. It's like, you're willing to worship the corn, but we can't talk about the one who created the corn? I don't understand. You can't go that far? I'm sorry. How many of you guys have gardens? Do you have a desire to worship that garden? No. Our garden is weeds. And we actually went and dug up some of the carrots because we forgot they were there because they were so covered by weeds. It's like, it was around Thanksgiving. I was like, hey, we actually have carrots in there. Went and started digging them up, shaking my head. It was kind of embarrassing. Nice garden, and it's all just covered. But men love darkness rather than light. And that is why it's so important in our lives to preach the gospel, to share it with those around us. We need to preach it. We need to hold on to it. We need to allow it to be stirred in people's hearts. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ, Jesus the Lord, and ourselves, your bondservants for Jesus' sake. Paul's saying, I don't preach myself. We're not preaching ourselves. We're preaching Jesus. So when people get angry, remember, they're angry at Jesus, not you. They could care less about you because they were just talking to you about corn. And they were having a great conversation. As soon as you mention Jesus, then they're mad. We need to preach Jesus. We need to let them know the truth. When we share the gospel with others, we're not preaching ourselves. We're not preaching the church. We're preaching Jesus. Some churches are built around a personality, around a pastor or a building or a facility or maybe a heritage, a legacy. No, it's all about Jesus. You know, it's not about how funny the pastor is, and he uses props or gimmicks, or he has lasers or smoke machines or all of that stuff. Now, I used to work in productions doing big shows on the coast, And man, you could whip people up into an emotional frenzy. And in the church, we used that years ago, back in the 90s. We used it a lot. And I remember one time we had this meeting, and me and some of the other pastors were talking about it. I wasn't a pastor at the time, but we were talking about this. And I said, you know, I'm not feeling right about this. Because what we saw is we saw people come forward afterwards and accept the Lord, but we didn't see them stick. Because we were whipping them up in all of this excitement and all of this pageantry and bringing them forward. And they didn't stick. They wandered away because we built it up after this show, this production, or the concert, or whatever. Yeah, we built up this big thing, and then we just released them into the world. It was just like, oh yeah, sorry. You know, here you got your package. Have a good day. Welcome to the Lord, and good luck. I hope you survive. We have to be careful that our faith is not based upon the church, not based upon the building. And I've seen people that. They're like devastated. We've had people, because we moved a lot. How many? Is this the only building you guys have been in? You lucky bum. Anyways, we've moved a lot, and we've had people leave because we moved to a different building. I think the worst mistake we did was actually lease a permanent building for a while. That was our building. And when we had to leave that because we started outgrowing it and the cost was going up, they wanted to up our lease and everything. So we said, okay, we'll go. And we had people leave because it's like, well, we don't have a building anymore, so we're just like vagabonds. And I don't like the chairs, they're not comfy. I should bring some of these home and teach them a lesson. We got nicer chairs, I'm just saying. Because we've been moving around looking for good chairs. But I'd say to people, bring your own chair. You know, at one point, these ladies started bringing these little square pad things. And I thought, oh, here's a commentary on the seats. And I was thinking, oh, great, because they had made them. Then I realized that's not what they were for. They had designed them with cork. They were padded on the bottom and then cork on the one side. And so they put them on their laps and put their Bibles and notepads on so they could take notes. And I was like, oh. So when I saw them come in and stack them on the side, I was like, oh, great. Here's the, well, Pastor, you wouldn't get better seats, so we had to go and get our own. It's like, okay, that's good. We have to be careful that we're serving Jesus. That our faith isn't built upon the church, isn't built upon a personality, isn't built upon a location, isn't even built upon our husband or wife. Sometimes we can do that, where we're following someone else, even someone close. We must be careful about that. Verse 6, it says, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." The God who spoke the light and shone into the darkness. The God who made the planets and the universe and every living and breathing thing has chosen to place this beautiful message in us. Can you guys believe that? I know sometimes I go sit there and go, God, you could find someone way better. You know, Gabriel, one of those angels up there, they could do a way better job than me. They got trumpets. I don't even play an instrument. Like, they could, you know, do a way better job. And I'm sure they sing better because they do that for a living. Get one of, you know, if they came and just pronounced the gospel, everybody would just get saved. So why are you using us? Because he loves us and he wants to work with us. I always love the picture of, you know, when you have kids, you learn this when they're young, the fun of bringing them alongside and teaching them how to do something. You know, I can get things done way faster without their help. But it's so much fun to be able to bring them alongside and teach them the things that we know how to do. And it's such a blessing. And so the Lord's like, I want to work with you. I want to use you guys. I want to use you to spread the good news, to preach the gospel. The God who created everything wants to work in you. He chose to put this amazing treasure in us. Earthen vessels were throwaway containers of the day. Paul uses this illustration. What do archaeologists dig up? Pots. Broken pots and lots of them. Because they were just like us. We got our water bottles. We go, okay, I'm going to drink my water, and then we recycle, right? And we just chuck it in the back seat. I've always wondered, you see those guys walking along the road collecting pop bottles? Is it wrong to throw yours out the window at them? I know there's littering laws, right? But I'm just like, hey, buddy, it's been rolling around in my seat, so I might as well give it to you. But I've always thought, what if I threw it out and just then, woo, woo, woo. I'm just giving it to him. And he can't slow down because there's people behind me. Then I think, what if I hit him? That's not good. But earthen vessels were the throwaway containers. They're quick and easy to make. You whip them up and you use them and you throw them out when you're done with it. And God uses us. Us, these earthen vessels, were big globby mud pots. And he used us to put his light and his treasure in us. Who is worthy to be a container for God's light and glory? The smartest person isn't smart enough. The purest person isn't pure enough. The most spiritual person isn't spiritual enough. And the most talented person isn't talented enough. We are all just clay pots holding unspeakable great treasures. The treasures of God. God put this amazing treasure of the greatness of Jesus Christ in these earthen vessels so that none of us vessels could claim it's because of anything that we've done or because we're super special. You know, I'm the special pot and I got some extra glaze. I'm a little more shiny. I got a stripe on. No, it doesn't make a difference. We're all on the same level. It's all him and his amazing love in our life. And when we realize that, we should be excited. Okay, I want to share this. I don't want to hold it to myself. I want to share this because God has chosen me to put this great news in that I can share. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. So that people would say, it's not because of Steve. It's because of Jesus. It's not because of what we've done. It's because of Jesus. People should look at us and say, there's something different about them. And I think that's some place in the church that we have fallen short. Because we work so hard to try to be like the world that all of a sudden the world doesn't even recognize us anymore. We just become part of the crowd. I'm not saying we should walk around with, sandwich board, the end is near, clanging pots. It's not about being weird, it's about being true. And people should say, hey, they live differently. They talk differently. Now, that doesn't again mean that we're walking around talking in King James. Thou, thee, thou art, thou with, Shakespearean. No. But that they say, hey, you know what? There's something different about the way they walk and the way they talk. There's a light. There's a skip in their step. There's something different about them. That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. That's so important. The glory must always be to God. The minute we begin to take the glory for anything he has done in our lives, we're on our way to a fall. The instance that we take the glory, we're on our way to a fall. I find, and Dan probably will agree with me here, one of the most frustrating things for a pastor, because we're trying to be humble, and it's hard when people come up and say, what a great message. I'm always like, what do I say to that? It's not mine. He just uses, I don't want to claim this is mine. It's him. I always say I got good material. And it doesn't come from me. It's his. So, because you're always like, you're trying not to say, yeah, thanks. I worked on it pretty hard. It's up pretty late. It's good. God just shone his light in my heart and spoke to me deeply. Because you know what? When we do that, we're on our way to fall. And trust me, these dusty pots break. We start going, hey, I'm pretty good. Next thing you know, boom. I'm not so good. I got some cracks and that shiny thing is all wrecked now. Oh. Paul here is going to give us another glimpse into the sufferings he's endured for the gospel and how although he has suffered, the Lord has brought him through. Verse 8, it says, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may also be manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. The idea behind hard pressed here is hunted, surrounded by enemies pressing in on every side. Paul lived as a wanted man. Paul, when he preached, now I'm glad I'm not like Paul. Because if I was like Paul, I'd be constantly looking at that back door while I'm sharing. Because when you read through the book of Acts, every time Paul went to a new town, what happened? He'd be preaching, and all of a sudden those guys that followed him, the Judaizers, would come through the back door, and he'd go, well, here it goes. Now I'm going to get beat up again, kicked out of town. He's just like, yeah, here it comes. The suffering it's going to start hurting. It's going to, And I love Paul because Paul understood this, but he understood that he had a mission. He never knew when he was going to get attacked yet, next. He was always watching over his shoulder. Yet he was not crushed. Paul lived under terrible stress, yet he was not crushed. And so he could continue to serve the Lord. Paul was not perplexed, left without, left wanting, not knowing which way to turn, but with all this fear, Paul did not fall into despair. He continued on. Paul's life was tough because he was so passionate for the Lord. Yet in every way, the Lord took care of him. That's the amazing thing. Remember, Paul felt that crushing because he wrote about it. Paul felt that perplexing. What's next? But he didn't allow it to take him down. He didn't allow it to take him out. And today, we have to hold on to that because in our world today, anxiety is the big word. Despair, depression, sweeping our nation because people don't have hope. Paul had hope that he could hold on to even when it felt like the weight of the world was crushing him. He had that hope. He was not crushed, not despair, not forsaken, and not destroyed. Paul knew the power and victory of Jesus in his life because Paul was always in situations where only the power of the Lord could meet his needs. He couldn't get out. When those guys came after him in Lystra, when they beat him to death, I still don't understand it. That shows the power of God. You get beat to death, you get dragged out of the city, they throw you in the garbage heap. The guys are standing around, the elders are standing around going, well, that was nice while it lasted, but Paul's gone. And Paul gets up and goes, what are you guys doing? Let's get back in town. We got work to do. I'd be like, well, you can go yourself. I'm staying out here because you just got beat up, beat to death. I don't think so. Paul understood this. We live very comfortable lives. We avoid persecution and ridicule at all cost. But for some of us, our lives are still full of despair and constant crushing feeling. But not for Christ's sake, but for the sake of our stuff, our success, our image, whatever it might be. We're allowing the world to come down upon us when we shouldn't. We need to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. We need to get our priorities straight. Let's make our suffering worth it. Let's suffer for the right reasons. And that God will be glorified. I think one of our biggest problems in North America is we're so inward focused that we're completely clueless. Because we're always looking, oh, you don't understand my week. It's like, what about someone else's week? Oh, I've had a horrible time. You know, I stubbed my toe and then at work someone called me a name. It's just so rough. It's like, oh. Sometimes I find people come to me and say, oh, Pastor, I need to talk to you. I've had such a heavy week. And I think, oh, no. And then they do this. I'll tell you after the service. Don't do that to him. Because when he's up here, all his brain is doing is going, what is it? Are they getting divorced? something like, or someone, did they have cancer? What's something bad? It's something bad. And then afterwards they go, yeah, you know, I was talking to my friend and asked me if he wanted to come to church and he said no. And you're like, that's it? I've been suffering up here for 45 minutes and that's it? Or don't call him and say, can we get together on Thursday? It's really important. Because then you got that weight on your shoulder for a whole week thinking, what is it? Oh no, it's huge. And then they tell you and you go, oh, we can pray together. Let me show you a couple of verses. This is an easy one. Put a bandage on that toe and stop whining. Just get over with it already. It's important that we understand these things and that we hold on to them. Verse 10, it says, always carrying about in our bodies the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our bodies. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. The death of Jesus is being worked out in our lives spiritually as we are conformed to his image, as we partake in his suffering. There are certain things that God can only do through a vessel that has been broken already. He needs to break us down so that he can use us. In the military, that's what they do. You were military. They break you down. They say, I am going to take away every piece of will you have so that you'll do everything I tell you to do. That's why if you guys go, any of you guys are a little older, and you go by one of those booths and they're recruiting, have a good laugh because you go in there and you'll say, oh yeah, you know, I'm 40 and 40-some and I'd like to sign up. And they go, no. And I said to the guy, is it because of me? Is it this? And he goes, no, you're not moldable. We need people that we can break down. You've got too much of your own self already. It's too hard to beat that out of you because you've already had too many years to build it up. And I was shocked. I was like, really? Okay. So that's, yeah, I was very honest, but it was good. It's like, okay, good. Well, and then I thought about it in a spiritual sense. And I'm like, oh, Lord, I better remain broken because I don't want, you can beat that out of me. I just want to be yours and I just want to be used. I want to be someone who the Lord is working in. The Corinthians could not understand that if Paul is supposed to be an apostle, then why was he always going through such struggles? The Corinthians were looking at him going, well, I don't know if Paul can really be an apostle because look at all the beatings he gets. And an apostle, we know, drives a BMW and he lives in that really nice house and he has a really nice suit. And Paul, you know, he walks kind of funny. You saw the suffering in Paul. He couldn't go through all those beatings, through all those shipwrecks, through everything without showing the marks upon his body. Historians say that he had a big nose, you know, he had weepy eyes, he was bow-legged. He had the signs of someone who had been through a lot. And they didn't understand this because they weren't seeing what was going on the inside. We sometimes think that those who are really spiritual live in a constant state of victory over their struggles and trials. I encourage you to take some time sometime and dig in to some of the guys like Spurgeon and some of these other guys and look. Because they talk about despair and anxiety and that crushing feeling and everything that Paul's talking about. I love Spurgeon has a chapter in one of his books for lectures to students called Fainting Spells. And I remember the first time, the pastor's fainting spells. And I went, what kind of chap fainting? I've never fainted. Like, the pastor's up there, like, preaching, and they just fall over. It's like, but it was talking about that, oh, the weight and the, oh, just feeling that, the crushing pain that comes upon you, the weight. You know, it's not just those who are out in the world that struggle. But you know what? The difference is that God gives you victory. God gives you strength over those things. You still feel them, but you have strength. Have you ever struggled with that? The Lord says he's going to give us peace, unexplainable peace. And we go, how can I have peace when I'm in the middle of a horrible trial? But how many of you guys have experienced that when you have peace, even though everything around you is a complete tornado? Everything is falling apart and you just think, God's got this. I have no idea how. But he does, and I'm going to get through it. It hurts right now, but I know I'm going to get through. I don't want to repeat. I have a tendency to fling my hands around, so I thought I should probably. At our church in our Bible study, if people sit next to me and everybody goes, don't do that. Sit, move over, because he'll hit you. God's servants may suffer. They may suffer death-like sufferings, but they're always for a purpose. Spiritual riches oftentimes come through struggles and suffering. Paul was so effective in his ministry because of the trials that he went through. It made him more effective in his ministry because of the struggles. How many of you guys work out? Oh, two, three? How many people really work out? I'm just kidding. I do all the time. No pain, no gain. You know, you got to go. You got to push yourself. You got to really just get in there. You gotta hurt to see any benefit. You know what? It's the same way in every other part of life. Sometimes we have to go through those struggles to be made stronger so that we can survive. And the Lord gives us the strength to get through and the peace that we need. And Paul was given amazing strength to get through. When we look at the list of all the sufferings that Paul went through, I just go, yeah, I can't even say I have one of those, so I'm not really doing a good job, I guess. Paul suffered, and you know what? It made him more effective. Verse 13, it says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak. Paul here is quoting from Psalm 116. It almost seems as if Paul here was reading the psalm before he wrote this chapter. Paul knew suffering, David knew suffering and sorrow, yet he knew the victory that faith in the Lord brought. He knew the victory that can come through that. We also believe and therefore speak. If you truly believe, speak. If you truly believe, speak. If I truly believe that this beam or ducting or something was about to fall on my head, would I stand here and keep talking? I would probably back up a little bit and get over here. Maybe go a little further up, say, everybody move back. If we believe something, we need to speak. We need to share. We need to let the people know the word of God. Don't hold it back. Let's let the word out. The gospel of God has the power to save lives. It's not dependent on how well we know the scriptures. It's not dependent if we know the scripture and verse. Newsflash. The people in the world don't know what 3 verse 12 means. But if you tell them the truth, if you say, well, it's like what it says in John 3:16, you know that. And we continue on, they don't know what that means. You have to say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting. If you believe in him. So if you don't remember the number, don't worry about it. Just know what the word says and share it with those around you. You don't have to have all the answers. All you have to know is what Jesus did in your life. That's your testimony. And you need to share it with those around you. And when people mock and attack and look at you funny, just shake off the dust and move on. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 14, the Lord said, and whoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Or to just literally say, okay, I'm not going to let that burden me. I'm going to keep on moving. I'm not going to let me knock me down. Let that slow me down. Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. Our God has the power to raise the dead, and he will raise all of us up and present us before the throne of God. The bride of Christ, the church, will stand before the throne, washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. So what do we have to worry about? What can you take? I remember years ago we were just married and we had a credit card and I had lost a job, and so I was having trouble paying it, and they started calling. Isn't that a joy? And he's like, I'm going to take everything from you. Now, we lived in a small apartment, and we had no furniture in the living room. We had a TV, literally, like no couch, no, like no furniture, a TV and a fish tank. In the dining room, we had a table, but no chairs. And in our bedroom, we had a mattress, no box spring, and a suitcase with where we kept our clothes. Because we had moved a couple times, and we just kind of left everything behind. And this guy's calling me going, I'm going to come and take everything you have. And I'm like, come and take it. I want to see your face. I got nothing. Come on. I'll let you in. Come and take it all. I'm going to take you to court. Go ahead. I'll bring my stuff with me. You can have it. And we'll be, it was like for $2,000. I was like, come on. Give me, as soon as I get a job, I'll pay it off like that. But when you think about it, when people are mocking, when people are laughing, you're like, come on. What can you do to me? I'm going to heaven. I'm one of the king's kids. I have the inheritance of everything in his kingdom. What can you do to me? Make a face and stick your tongue out? Oh, no. Throw a rock at me? Oh, that hurts. Burn my house down? Okay, that's fine. Go ahead, bring it on. Because this is the truth. And I'm not going to back down. And I think we've lost a little bit of that hype, that excitement. We've kind of fallen asleep. We need to get excited about it. Say, okay, I know this. The Lord raised Jesus from the dead, and he's going to raise us up, and he's going to present us. So you know what? Let's go. Let's do this. Verse 15, for all things are for your sake, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Our outward man is perishing. Paul knew this. No doubt he knew this. After all of the things he went through, I'm sure he ached. I'm sure all those years he spent in prison, he was in pain, had a sore back, was a little tired, a little worn out. He understood this. How do we get renewed day by day? By spending time in the Word of God. That's how we get our energy. That's where we get our power. By spending time in prayer. By actually spending time in prayer. And I've been bugging our guys for a long time about this. Actually, we're really bad. I'll pray for you. Pray for you, brother. Pray for you, sister. Do we? We often forget. Someone brings a prayer request, you know what? Pray for it right then, because you're probably going to forget. We do this thing where we pass, I don't know if you guys do this, but we have emails. We send out emails for prayer requests constantly as they come in during the week. And I'm always saying, did you pray for that? Like, do you actually pray for it? Don't just read the email and go, oh, prayed, and put a little. I said, this doesn't mean you prayed, the little emojis. Pray. Emojis don't count. God's not going, okay, we got 4 emojis from Calvary Chapel Cranbrook, so we'll just intercede for the emoji and a smiley face and a heart. So good. The Lord wants to see us on our knees, and when we pray, we're renewed. How many of you guys have been like just heavy, and you begin to pray, and all of a sudden, all the weight comes off? And half of your prayer list seems to fade away because it's not that important anymore. And you just begin to pray as the Lord works. We need to pray, spend time in the Word, being washed daily in the Word, and the Lord, and allowing the Lord and the Holy Spirit just to work in our lives. Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I love this verse. But I love Paul's sense of humor. He just finished telling us about how hard-pressed, how perplexed, how persecuted, struck down, that our outward man is perishing. And then he says, for our light affliction. What do you think is bad, Paul? What do you think is a bad affliction? What's a heavy affliction if this is a light one? For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. The things that we go through in this life are making us better for eternity, making us stronger. We've got about an 18 or more window, depending on how healthy you are. 80. 880 or more window to get things going, to figure things out, to get prepared for eternity. So we got to get with it. I know I'm more than halfway there. And it's the white beard shows. But as we continue, the Lord begins to build in us and make us stronger. We've got this time to be built up. Paul had a proper perspective on life. Our life is but a vapor, a puff of smoke, a wisp, here for a second and then gone. We can all feel the time is flying by. I look at my boys and I just go, they were just this and now they're taller than me and I don't know what happened. And I, you know, people, I went to the store the other day and they gave me a senior's discount. I have been making fun of the guys in my church because they're all old, like most of them are older, a lot older than me. And for years I've been picking on them. And now I'm getting my just dessert. I'm only 43. And they're giving me, they're like, senior's discount? I'm like, no! I'm offended! You should give me an extra discount for saying that! We went to Save-On and I'm with Shauna and they go 15%. And I said, I thought it was something to do with points or something. So I'm like, yeah, sure. Then I walk out and I'm thinking, why did they give me that? Then we look at the sign, Senior's Day. And I'm like, oh. What is that all about? But our life is but a vapor. It's here today and gone tomorrow. And so we need to take advantage of every moment of our lives. But what we do for the Lord in this short life is working for us as far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. Do we truly appreciate the weight of glory, or do we think that our suffering in this life are so great that we forget about and rarely consider the weight of glory that is to come? We're just in the waiting room. We haven't even begun to live. So we have to stop whining and complaining. You know, we are literally just stretching, getting ready for life. We've got all eternity, everlasting life. So let's not forget that. Let's live every second that we can for the Lord. Do we truly appreciate it? This amazing treasure placed in earthen vessels, the gift of eternal life, the gospel of God, that God gave His only Son that we may enter eternal life, that we may have this living hope and receive rewards on top of that. I'm just glad if I get in. You know, yeah, I would like some rewards, but, you know, if I just get in, I'd be like, hey, that's better. That's all I deserve. I deserve to be on the small bus in the back, you know, kind of gets in the very end. Years ago, I was working on the coast, and we were working this all-night job. And we were resetting one of the displays at Home Depot, and we were going to a couple different Home Depots. And they made us do it at night because we were tearing the whole section down and rebuilding it for this company. And we had finished early, and they wouldn't let us out of the building until they arrived at 5 in the morning. So when they arrived, we just kind of found somewhere to lay down when we were done, and we were sleeping on displays, things, and I found a carpet roll thing and laid on there. We got down to the ferry, and we're waiting for the ferry, and it was an hour before the ferry got there, so we were just sitting there, and it's an empty parking lot. Has anybody been there? But it's a massive empty parking lot, and we're the only one there, and we're first in line. You know, there's no workers there, nothing. So we're there, and we fell asleep. And we got the windows cracked, and we wake up, and all I hear is boom, 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 boom. And I'm thinking, what? I wake up like this, and I look, and there's cars whizzing past me, and they've got flaggers going around our car, loading the ferry. We were the last on. The guy comes up and goes, you guys look so comfy that I figured I'd just leave you to last. It was very embarrassing. We don't want to sleep through this life. We want to get going. We don't want to just sleep through it. We want to get going. We want to get on and get moving, and we need to get moving. Verse 18, it says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. We need to look past the things which are seen and look to the things that are not seen. So much of our lives are distractions, vacations from reality. All the while, there are thousands of people out there in our community headed for hell. And many of them have never heard the gospel. They may have heard of Jesus. They may have heard of church. But they've never heard the gospel. And they've never had it explained to them what it means to them. And it's important that we do this. And if you don't know what to say, here's the trick. Bring them here. Bring them here. And they're going to hear the truth. And they're going to meet other people who found the truth. That's the thing. If you don't know what to say, if you're fumbling all over the place, bring them to church. Or find someone else in the fellowship who's good at it and say, hey, I need you to come with me. I would like you to come and help me talk with this person and share. We're a family, we're a body, and we're to work together. So we're to work together to build each other up and use each other's gifts. Some of us, it's just like, don't make me talk, please. But we're gifted in all kinds of other areas. So that's when we find that person who's really gifted at talking and sharing, and we say, hey, I need your gift. Just would like you to come over here and work in this situation. That's why we're here. And you know what you say? Hey, we're not a stuffy church, we're in a basement. You know, come on. We don't have all that fancy stuff. We're in a base, like we're in a hotel. We're just like we're in a hotel ballroom, and half the times the bathrooms are flooding. It's like that's not a big deal. I thank the Lord that we don't own the building because wow. We have to be careful that we don't get caught up in the things of today, but just be thinking about the things of the future. Let's take some time out of our lives to share the good news of Jesus with those around us. And the most important thing we can do is to set aside time and pray for the souls of those around us. For the specific people in our life and in our families that need Jesus. And just say, Lord, break down those walls. Convict their heart so that when I actually get the chance to talk, they say, gimme. How many of you guys have had those conversations that look like this? Don't tell me about Jesus now. How does this thing work? Don't tell me about Jesus. Just give me a little more. Have you ever experienced that? You're literally going, you just keep telling me to be quiet, but then you keep asking questions. Okay, well, I'll keep answering, even though I keep getting my stuff. Okay, don't go there. Don't ask me to become a Christian. Don't ask me to go to church, but tell me about Jesus. Tell me about Jesus. Take that opportunity. You know what? The Lord's going to do the work. He's going to do the work. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone into our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. You guys have this treasure, and we need to share it. We need to share it with those around us. Let's pray.